Well, I want to talk about something today as I get into the sermon topic now for today. And if I could ask Mr. Zorns and Mr. Faulkner, would you help pass these out? This is a topic that you all know about. And so since we only have 7 weeks, and you know how fast the time flies, let's ask a question. And maybe you can do this as well. Since you've been in contact with the church, since you've been baptized or are considering it, have you ever thought how you're doing with your prayer life? I can remember years ago certain messages. I know that there were certain technical ministers that would get there saying, you know, so much time. You're to take so much time in your prayer. So it got technical, and yet the Bible doesn't tell you. So let me ask you this. If you're thinking about, you probably know this. Let's do a fill in the blank. Abraham blanked with God. Do you all know? I saw somebody voice it. Do you remember what it is? Abraham blanked with God. He walked with God. Remember? Abraham walked with God. What does that mean, that he actually took walks with him? What does that mean? Abraham had a relationship with God, and God respected that, because when you're walking with somebody, it's like they're there all the time. You know, God physically was there with Adam and Eve, teaching them. That's why there's so little that's mentioned about the Garden of Eden. You know, because he came that one time and he called out, "Where are you?" He says, "I was afraid." So there was a teaching mechanism that was there in that garden, because there had to be instruction that was given. But others took that, such as Abraham and some of the others, had very, very close relationship with God. The same ones that we should have today, that can't be accomplished without this. Because what happened was so many of the Bible characters fell short. What happened, for instance, with King David? When David set up Uriah, or when he even looked at Bathsheba, was he walking with God at the time? What would your answer be? I doubt it. What happens with the king? My guess would be, when you have the duties of a king, how busy? Somebody always wants something from you. There's always some kind of skirmish going on, something that you have to try to fix. What was David's relationship like with his kids? His son Absalom turned against him. So evidently there wasn't a very close relationship there. Again, maybe because he was just too busy. So what happened? Because I'm thinking in my mind, wow, here's a difference. I'm thinking here. David, when he was really close to God, was a shepherd. He had time out there to look at the stars, to think about God. It's one nice thing that when you're traveling through beautiful mountains and things like that, is I get the opportunity to think, to meditate, to sing. I love it. Yes, it's taxing. It's a lot. I'm tired when I get back, but wow, the thinking. I remember one time driving between Baton Rouge, it was 5 hours on the Sabbath to drive for me. Now, if I took the kids, we'd leave Friday. That'd be a 5-hour drive, would be very difficult with kids on the Sabbath day. But when I drove myself, sometimes I had an entirely different sermon that I gave in Houston. 5 hours that went by. I'm thinking, I'm meditating, I would stop it, and it was an hour to Lafayette, then an hour to Lake Charles, and an hour into Beaumont, then another hour and a half into North Houston. And by the time I got done with that, I'm totally refreshed. I would get back from 5 hours and go, wow, that was awesome. Of course, I was a lot younger then too. So 5 hours wouldn't be so easy now. But the opportunity is to get close to God and to think. And we don't always have that opportunity, do we? Because everyone here is busy. We never have enough time in the day to get things done and to finish it. Computers are so frustrating. Why? Because they take more time. You know, I had to sit in that car to figure out how it worked. It was like flying an F-16 or something with all the gizmos and gadgets that they had. See, it's just occupier of time. And that's what we all face. And what happens is it can start to take away from our prayer life as well. And we've got to rededicate ourselves to that. That's why I've got this paper. So you can really challenge yourself up into Passover to really bone up on your relationship, my relationship with God. How have we been doing with that? Let's take a look at some of these. I've got the perfect day. You can write the day down. You can make multiple copies if you want. But let's take a look at some of these principles, because what does the Bible say on how much time you should spend with God? As I said, David no doubt fell away with his contact at that time he went through, because there was an extended time on setting up Uriah. That had to be maybe weeks. So was he falling short in his prayer? And obviously, you can see his prayer of repentance. He was serious when he repented, but that disconnect that he had for just that, even that short time, caused him to lose his thinking. He wasn't even thinking right, and God had to send a prayer to wake him up. He didn't even see. He was so mad when Nathan, the prophet, showed him from another point of view what happened, and David said, well, this ought to happen. I believe there are three or four things. And so David made his judgment, and those three to four things God caused upon him. There were three or four punishments that David received as a result of that, so he could really see clearly what had been caused. Now, the wonderful story about that ends up is God is such an incredibly merciful God. For those of you that think you've done something so bad or so wrong, the only thing I believe that should be on your mind is not only the repentance part, obviously that's so important, but how much God cares and how much he loves you and loves me to the point he's willing to cast our sins constantly. As far as east is from the west, he remembers them no more. And it's us that remember them. It's us that bring them back again. And God says, no, they're gone. They're gone. I remember them no more. Get up and put on the sincerity and truth and change and grow. And we ought to become stronger as individuals throughout the years. I was listening to one man that's a self-kind of help type guy, John Maxwell. And he was talking about birthdays, because that's another topic that came up. You know, is it a sin to do birthdays? Because many of you grew up in the church. I didn't, so I had 14 years birthday parties. Well, I don't know when we started. I don't know if they started on me on my first or what, but I remember the birthday parties I used to have. You used to have your friends over, have a nice big cake with how many candles for your years. But I remember looking back, it never caused, to my knowledge, an ego problem. My dad made certain that he understood that I was not God's gift to mankind. Things, and you probably remember that too. He'd say, hey, you don't like it there? There's the door. Don't let it hit in the rear on the way out. I did not have an ego problem because of birthdays. But now, all of a sudden, and we had a church booklet on it. And I remember reading through that booklet. Remember how Mr. Armstrong said, don't prove it, don't believe it because I said it? I tell you that all the time. And that's why I say, read them. Is it true? Is it true what it says? You've got to go in the scripture and find out for yourself. Just because bad things happen on birthdays in the Bible did not mean it was a sin. We had to learn from that. But you know, when that came up, and this is what I'll tell you too, I wasn't so fast to go, oh, now I can do cakes for all my kids and candles. We're free to do that now. No, that wasn't my thinking. I saw the inherent problems behind that sometimes. I know that when we had our big split, somebody invited us over to a birthday party. A party, because now you could do that. And I saw the child, snotty. I'm going, that's why I don't do it. Because all of a sudden it becomes all about you. And if that's the issue, that's the problem. That doesn't mean that you can't give your kids something nice. But that's in my view. I can't say if somebody got in cake and candles, if somebody wants to technically say, is that a sin? I'll say it could be. It could be. I still tell my kids when it's their birthday, hey, happy birthday. Call your mother. You had nothing to do with it. And now I'll take them out. Now we'll go out for something, a nice dinner or something like that. But is that a sin? We've come a long way, brethren, with this, to think about the overall point. What's the point of all this? Not to accuse somebody. I don't ridicule any of the teachings that we felt at that time, but we've grown. And we're not so quick, somebody, so why are we so quick to turn to sin? Why are we so quick to say, I don't want to eat unleavened bread? I say, wait a second, I don't know of anybody, myself, that has that attitude of not wanting to do it. Somebody just asked the technical question, is it a sin? We always want to do, is it a sin? So we get our Pharisaical notebook out to write these things out. It's a sin to do that. And everybody wants that road right there instead of figuring out within your lives, is it a sin for you? It might be a sin for somebody to drive 5 hours on the Sabbath. That's a long way. If you knew you were going into that and was going to totally wear you out, it was going to make you miserable with your kids screaming in the back seat of the car, I would say find something a bit closer if you can. Sometimes the way is too far for people, but it might not be too far for somebody else. It would depend on your health, but guess what? That becomes between you and God, not between me and you. You're going to have to judge that. You're going to have to answer with God. That way you can't skirt around it. You can't say, well, my minister said this or he said that, because now we've got it all down here and we can do the checkoff points. No, you are responsible for your relationship, and so the importance of this. So let's go find out, because you can't, the Bible doesn't say how many hours or how many minutes, but there's a lot in the Bible that speaks about contact and about prayer. So I put these scriptures down. Let's go take a look at these in Matthew chapter 6. So in the morning, and I may be able to reason with this, because there are principles within the scripture that talk about godly people and when they prayed. It talks about, we'll go to these scriptures as well, but here's the principle. Matthew chapter 6, and all the way back then, they had stuff to do. They had worries, they had concerns. Where am I going to get this? How am I going to do that? And Christ gave the point in Matthew chapter 6. In verse 32, it says, after all these things the Gentiles seek, they all seek their Xboxes, their newest Xboxes, and they get in the line on the previous day and to buy the next day. They want to be up on the latest technology, all the stuff and all the things that they didn't even have. But he knew that they were looking at all the other physical things that God says, I already know what you need. Before you even ask, I know what you need. Don't focus on that. It's not that you can't have nice things either. That's not the point. What's foremost on our mind, though, is it the relationship that we have with God, or is it the worldly things that we do? Was it wrong for me, a sin, to gravitate from a Hyundai to a Ford Fusion? Not in my mind. I was very grateful, and I want to be very careful on how I spend the money, but that $10 a day was, I'm so glad I did it. I'm very grateful for a nice piece of transportation that's safe and that's comfortable to drive in as well, instead of being all kind of closed in where your back is killing you. But again, everybody else has to evaluate that. I'm sharing with you what I had to evaluate as well. It says, your Father knows that you need all these things, but seek you first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. And we go through our life sometimes, and I wonder how much time I've spent wasting time, because I thought that this element was more important. That became a priority over the things of God. And God said, okay, if you're going to do that, if you're going to seek that first, I'll let you seek it. But guess what? If you would have sought me, you would not have spent all that time. I would have cut your time in half if you would have sought me, because frankly, you had to work so much harder for it, I was ready to give it to you. That's the thought process in our communication with God. Let's look at Proverbs chapter 3, verse 6. Proverbs chapter 3. These all, by the way, I hope, you know, back in college, we used to have memory scriptures, and sometimes you can get memory scripture cards. Those can kind of be fun sometimes. You know, sometimes you go, I know that's there. For the most part, I think God's people know that it's there. I know the Bible says that somewhere, I just can't remember where it is. Some have great memories. I never had such a great memory. I know that there were some in college that had, they called them photographic memories. They could kind of look at it and ace the test the next day. I'd have to stay up all night going over it, and I'd get the C. while these other ones got A's, but did they remain in the church? Most of those photographic memories aren't even in the church. So you can have knowledge of stuff, doesn't mean you're going to be in the church. How much do we ingrain it? How much do we live by every word of God? That was the point. So you get to this here. And, you know, sometimes I've teased when I've said this. In verse 5, it says, trust in the Lord with all of your heart and don't lean to your own understanding. In some of your ways, acknowledge him. I know I'll get a smile out of that. But I want to emphasize, that's why I want to emphasize, it says it all your ways. And what happens when you're doing it all your ways? You're doing the same thing that Abraham did. It says he walked with God. So you're walking with God. You're not playing around a basketball with him and then going your own way. Having some fun with him and you're constantly, God is on your thoughts all the time. So that's why you get in Thessalonians, can't remember, it's somewhere in there. Actually, I think it's 1 Thessalonians 5, verse 17. I think it is. You can check me out on that one, but what does it say? Do you remember? Pray without ceasing. Does that mean I've got to, I must be sinning now because I'm not praying. Do we understand the point? It's a continual walk with God. So I was confirmed that I was right. That's all right. There's more time in the sermon left, so. You know, it's interesting. The ministry has got to get up there and speak. I wonder, is there ever a time when I can get up and give the perfect sermon? God keeps saying, probably not. I want to keep you humble. Nobody has gotten up there has been perfect. But the point is, as we ask for God to inspire us all, and we're all different people. So sometimes I've pointed out, even at the feast, you know, some people are going, oh, I really thought that was a good sermon. Somebody else will go, I didn't get that one so much, but I did get this one over here. Because all of us have different receptors, and we come from all walks of life, and we're different, and something's going to catch us here that might not catch somebody over there, or you're going to get it later on, or maybe a personality, you know, in the speaker will connect with you more than somebody else. But there's always something that we can learn, especially when we're praying about it. In all of your ways, acknowledge him, and he'll direct your paths. So think about that. Do you want to direct your own path? Are you confident enough to do that? Looking back, that's what I saw when I came to baptism time. It was that simple for me. I saw that path, and I saw that path. I saw when I tried to direct my own path, it didn't work out so well. Sometimes it did. Sometimes it was okay, but overall, when I step back, I go, I know that's not the way to go. I know that way's not easy either. But at least I know that's the way to go, because that's what God says. I choose to believe God, to acknowledge that there is a God that exists, and if he says something, I'm going to believe it. I may not even fully understand or comprehend it to its fullness, even at that time. And we grow. Sometimes you'll be in the church for a long time, and something will go, it never hit me that way before. Now that hit me in a different way. And God is causing you to grow through the power of the Spirit. As long as we are walking, as long as we have that contact with God, or do we reason out of it, or do we look at prayer? You get up in the morning, see, that's that first one I put in there. That's going to be your morning prayer. You're going to get out of bed, and I challenge you. Because sometimes it'll be hard because you might be totally exhausted. I challenge you, the first thing when you wake up, you say, God, help me today. That's the first words that are out of your mouth. That's the first thing that you think about. God, guide me and help me today. You know, I'm weak. I'm exhausted right now. I don't jump out of bed and start doing backflips. Some of us here, it's enough to just stand up and sing a hymn because your bodies are sore. I see some crutches here today. So, you know, so we get these little things. But God knows that too. He knows that too. And he can help you. He can strengthen you. When I see these ministers out there, I go, how did they do it? How does Mr. Walker, now they gave him another job. Like he needs more? How does he do that at that age? I know how he does it. I know how he does it. That's through the help and power of God. That's the only way you can do that. This is important. We get out of bed. Now you can get up. Now, I'm not listing a pharisaical thing. I'm giving some ideas. So you need a little time to freshen up, take your shower, get a cup of coffee. Now it's good productive time. I'm going to now get some knee time in. God, help me this day. You know, guide me this day. Help me to think about you. Help me to put sincerity and truth on today. Help that to be the most important part of my life, because you know me. I tend to drift. I've got all these other things to do that you already know that. Talk to him. Talk about what you feel, about what you're going through, about what you believe. The time to maybe get a couple people in. If you were to pray for all the prayer requests, that can be an all-day thing. When you think about how many people that, how do you do that? How do you pray for all these people that need prayers? Maybe you can do some in the morning and some in the afternoon, or maybe that person, you'll think about them while you're driving or doing something. Use that time to just talk to God. You don't have to get on your knees all the time. Talk to God. Say, please, you know, please ease this person's pain. Give them the comfort. Give them the peace that they need. All kinds of times that we can do that. But you know what happens? If we don't make it a habit, then it's not going to be a habit. You won't walk with God. You'll go, well, I'll squeeze this one in over here. I'll get this one over here. When you start to practice that, it develops into a habit. I was going to say, I didn't finish this with John Maxwell on birthdays. He would go to a birthday and he goes, I don't care if you turn another year. So what? You had nothing to do with it. So what? So you turn 63 tomorrow. Big deal. So what? Now, if you say, I've turned 63 and here's where I've grown. I've actually grown. I made another year and I grew, thanks to God. You know, how about making this next year and asking God, help me to grow? You know, help me to, when I get to my next birthday, I can look back, you know, your best growth periods probably. You know, we don't like to think this, but sometimes our best growth periods are the hardest parts in our life. They're the toughest parts in our life. That you look back and go, that was a rough year. And it was. These past couple years have been tough. You know, and I think, you know, this year, there's a lot of weddings. We got a ton of weddings. We got some baptisms in the mix going. I'm kind of going, yes, all right, we started to get some good news here. This is great. We're getting some growth there with what's going on here. I thought when we had this problem with Google, because they were putting out the religious organizations and going, oh, we're going to take a hit here, because they're going to look at God or something else, and we're going to go down the list, and that was happening. But do we give up? No. You pray, and you ask God for guidance, and the numbers start to go up again. You got to figure out some different stuff on how it works, but we got some pretty smart men, some pretty smart people. And then you put God in the mix. With God, all things are possible. He wants us to do a work. He wants us to preach the gospel. So Google's not going to get in his way. Are you kidding me? So, you know, so what do we do? So let's get from the morning. You go through your morning, you get your prayer, and okay, we got this going here. God, I need your guidance. I need your help. You might be at work and a situation comes up, and, you know, you might be, even at that time, you might think, you know, God, I remember praying you this morning. Here's the situation here. Right then you can pray, help this to work out. You know, give me wisdom. It's interesting. When I'm counseling people, do you think I want to counsel them with my words? Are you kidding me? If God's not there, I'll blow it. Because number one, I talk too much when you're an extrovert minister. So I need to listen. And sometimes, you know, Christ didn't take, unless he did the Sermon on the Mount, but many times he answered a question with a question, didn't he? He wanted to get people thinking. So he would answer a question with a question. So I see how he did it. But it takes God's guidance and God's wisdom and God's inspiration. So we get through the morning and you get to the afternoon. Who doesn't need to be re-energized during the day? So you get your time, it's your lunch period. What are you going to do on your lunch period? I found it many times, the only places I can find is a restroom. So I'll get in the restroom, lock the door if you can, or find a private place, or just frankly go for a walk. And talk to God again. Thank you for the great morning that I had, or a scenario might have come up that you need some help with or guidance. Guide me this day. you know, continue, please. Thank you for the food. Thank you for the food that I mean. Thank you for your safety and protection. That's why I introduced by saying, what do you have to be thankful for? When I got to Mr. and Mrs. Price's in Limestone, I thought it was going to be raining, and the sun comes out. I'm going, yes, thank you so much for the sunshine. That's probably the best part of it raining for 3 days. You are so much more thankful for when the sun comes out. Not that I'm not thankful for it anyway. It just seems like during this time of the year, especially for Knoxville, it's overcast and gloomy. I can't stand this part of the year. I don't care if it's freezing. Give me the sun. And it just cheers you up so much more. But God knows that as well. You know, can easily appreciate when we have sun. And this is such a beautiful area, by the way, too. Even though man's polluted it, there's still a lot to be thankful for. So we use that time in the morning. Let's go over to Daniel chapter 6, verse 10. I want to make sure that even though you might know these, that we look at them, that we read them, they're there. That was a big change when I came into God's true church. I saw people that actually had their Bibles. They opened them. They read the scripture along with the minister, and many wrote in their Bibles. How dare you write in the Holy Bible? That's God, but yet we understand this is God's workbook, and it's our workbook. And it's a great workbook because it gives you the understanding of what he's doing. Daniel chapter 6 and verse 10. Now, when Daniel knew that the writing was signed, that it was illegal to pray, he opened up the windows, knelt down on his knees 3 times that day, and prayed and gave thanks before his God, as was his custom during his early days. So there you've got it. There you've got a principle. Is it a sin if we don't pray 3 times a day? There's your technical question. Well, I just gave you the principle here. You know it. It could be if you're walking away from God. It could cause you to sin because you weren't close enough to God. There's the principles. David. So many others in their weaknesses. What about Peter? Peter, when he was so zealous to say, hey, I'll lay down my life for you, Christ goes, you don't even have the strength to do that. He knew it, and yet God was so merciful that he knew that they would need the strength of the Comforter to be able to get through, and they did. There's your proof. It is possible. It is possible. What was once impossible because Peter was choosing his own path, and God said, you're not going to be able to do it without me. Do you realize in your life, you can't do it without God? It's not possible. You need the strength of the Spirit. Do you know in those commercials, for those of you that watch it, we're so happy to hear Mr. Franks talk about the halftime show that he didn't watch, because I wanted to make sure we watched the Super Bowl too. We had Mr. Holmes over and a couple other people as well. And all of a sudden we see this come on. Well, looks like we're not watching that. Couldn't believe how the woman was dressed, and it's just nothing shocks me anymore. It really doesn't, what they'll put on before people that they know have kids that are watching. It just, there's no end to what Satan is doing, what he's planting into God's people. So we turn the channel, and you know, we've got over 360 channels. So now by the time you get to the second half, you're kind of done looking through it. But we happen to have about 3 stations below. We just listened. Oh, we saw the Gaithers. Let's hear some good music. Listen to some good harmonies and melodies. Is it a sin to listen to the Gaithers, by the way? When they talk about these things and the cross and all that? I think I know. I think I understand. You know, the harmonies are great, and they are talking about God. They actually acknowledge God. I'll give them the benefit of the doubt because God's not judging them. And I'm not worshiping the cross. So, yeah, I listen to some good music. I do that on the way home sometimes, even from Asheville, because you get this station. And I love the melodies. I'm going, I can't wait to be able to teach these guys on what the truth is. They're going to have to change the words of their tunes. But that's okay. Because I know that thankfully there are people in this country that we know are descendants, hence Mr. Kylo's sermon on the promises of Abraham. Because I thought that for a while too. Why do so many people believe in God? They just don't worship him in spirit and truth. Well, that's because they're the same as the Israelites. They fell away from the truth as well. But at least they believe in God. Would you rather have a nation that totally doesn't believe in God? No, I'm grateful that we do, because it gives us some of the freedoms that we have as well. And I know God's not judging them at this point. He's judging us that know the truth. They'll be given the opportunity so we can understand that as well. Should make us think and appreciate so much more of the truth that God has given to us. They just don't know. Sometimes they'll do better than we do at contact with God. Wow, why hasn't God called these people? Why did God not call some of these evangelists that have been around for so long? And some of them had good voices. I listened to them as well. I'm going to turn down this station. There's a Baptist minister down in Georgia. He's just got that delivery, that little southern drawl there. You know, what a challenge it was to come in after Mr. Thompson in the South, because he was from the South. And he had that. It was just pleasing to listen to him and to hear him, the way he would put scriptures together and the way he would teach. You know, but some of these guys, they've got the voices, and all of a sudden I go, oh, he's off on that one. He starts to get off, and I go, well, all right, thankfully, he doesn't know about that. We do. I don't judge him. God is not judging him. But he does believe in God, and he does believe in people doing better in their lives. So I go, I'd rather have that than somebody that doesn't teach God. And not that I go searching during the day for these other people either. I'm just saying the difference that makes us thankful is the truth that God's given to us and who he's called. Samuel, let's go over to Samuel, because this goes to the principle as well. Psalm chapter 55. Do any of you remember this? If I go to Psalm chapter 55, verse 17, you may remember this. Because on the principle here, and answering this so long as far as how many times a day or how long, we get the principles. Here's the principle here. Psalm 55 and let's go to verse 16. As for me, I will call upon God, and the Lord will save me. Evening and morning and at noon, I will pray and cry aloud, and he will hear my voice. There are times you can go into the Psalms of David and see times where he was very strong, and other times that you can read about his weaknesses too. And those give us the lessons that should prompt us and inspire us to go, I've got to bone up on my prayer life. I've kind of gotten away from God with whatever circumstances that we've been confronted with. But this is a great time, with 7 weeks until Passover, to look at ourselves and go, where do I stand with God right now? It's a time that we examine ourselves. This is good examination time, and a good time for us to realize if we have let down, if we have become weaker, to get on our knees and ask God for his forgiveness, ask God for his mercy, ask God to give us the strength to change and to grow, and watch him do his miracles. Watch him do what he can do. I'm just fascinated. Sometimes with the littlest things, that's why I like to share. I like to hear yours too. But it just seems like every time I get a rental car, thank you, God. Thank you so much. Whether I'm overseas, whether I'm here, just those smallest things, you know that God has done something to bless you and to help you and to guide you, and I don't deserve it. And yet he's so merciful. So you've gotten through the afternoon time to spend with God, to take some specific time, whether you've got to go for a walk, whether you can find a quiet room that you can kneel before God at that time. The Bible's not specific with that. There are just principles to follow. And now you get to the evening. And as I ask to start the sermon out, what do you have to be thankful for? This is a great time to wrap up your day with a ton of thanksgiving. Thank you for your safety and protection. When you see the traffic out there every day, how do I make it back without a scratch on the car? How do you do? How does that work out? I mean, sometimes I'll see, you know, a couple of days ago, you probably heard the news. I-75 going north was backed up for hours, closed, because somebody hit the ice and a truck flipped and there was a big mess that we came through that. I didn't see any evidence. They cleaned it up pretty good, but, you know, all that happened. I could have been the one to hit the ice. You know, so many things happen at so many different times, and I look back and go, God, wow, God's always blessed me. He's always blessed me through that. Thank you, God, for your safety and protection. Please give me a good night's sleep. How many of you have trouble going to sleep at night? Oh, wow. Help me to do a mind dump that I can just let this stuff go, because you know of everything I have anyway, and I'm having trouble letting it go. I'm grabbing onto this, and I have trouble sleeping. So I've had to practice different methods. So I've told you before, I would go to my grandfather's 40 acres. Just it was a wonderful delight as a kid to go through 40 acres and how God did that. You know, my grandparents probably would have gotten in trouble by social services if they found out that you let them go through 40 acres and go fishing on a river with nobody else around. I could have died there somehow, but God's protection was always there. By the way, we didn't wear helmets when we had bicycles. No knee pads, no elbow pads. Oh, I remember the times when I fell on asphalt and scraped my knee. You know, you get that big, big scab. You eventually knock it in and something comes off, and you got to go through the whole process again. Everybody remembers those. Then somebody decided to do knee pads. What a great idea. I think it's great. Is it a sin if you don't wear them? Sometimes I know the parents want to toughen them up a little bit. Hey, we did monkey bars and fell on our heads and all kinds of stuff. Now we don't want our kids to play in the sand because it might have germs. And you find out later on that playing in the sand actually helped your body build up a resistance. It didn't mean that you told your kids to eat it, which some I think have tried. You know, watching a kid, they'll eat everything. So, you know, you watch this and you grow and you thank God and don't take for granted the safety and protection, how he's provided everything, always has, always been there. You're here today. So he's provided for us. He's taken care of us, and he will. And he lets things happen. He allows things to happen. We need to actually strive for his will. God, I want to pray for your will to be done. I'd like this and this and this, but could you give me a good night's sleep? Bless me with a good night's sleep. And bless these other people that have mates that are suffering, that you would give them comfort and peace and wisdom to do whatever they can do in their situation. But that's the best that you can do sometimes without actually going there and bringing somebody maybe some soup or something. But, you know, how important our prayers are for people to understand that. But there your nighttime is. I'll tell you my best dream. Maybe because I haven't asked for, I love this dream. I've had a couple of them a number of times. I remember where I could bounce, I could kind of jump, and I could stay up in the air for a little bit. And I found out I could keep boosting myself up, and then I could kind of just soar over, looking down over the land. And for some reason, there were bad people that were trying to get me, but I was like Peter Pan or something. I could just zoom, you know, go over here. Oh, did that feel great? That was so wonderful to have control over your, you know, will we have that as spirit beings? Probably. We'd be able to do some things like, wow, would that be great? But I had another one where I fell off of a cliff. And I'm falling back and free falling. You go, oh, like this. And then at the end, I would go, whew, just like I'm landing in this whole bale of cotton or something. And that's when I woke up. And I didn't want to wake up. I go, I want to do that again. It was awesome. I don't always remember my dreams. But I know when I have them, I'm probably in a really deep sleep. And I love those kind of things, providing it. And the asking could be, please give me good dreams. Help me to have good dreams. Some of us have had bad dreams. Do you know, you can tell God, ask God to take those away. Please take those away. If there's satanic influence, God, please rebuke this if it is a spirit. All these things you can ask your Heavenly Father, but you have to ask. Because you remember in James it says you have not because you ask not. Because our mind thoughts are on everything else except for that. How important it is for us to really understand this. So let's go. We already know. I actually have the scripture written down here. 1 Thessalonians 5, verse 17. That one is pray without ceasing. Very short one. Pray without ceasing. Tell some other things there too, but pray without ceasing. Luke 18. Let's go to Luke 18. Luke chapter 18 and verse 1. Then he spoke a parable to them that men always ought to pray and not lose heart. This is the one about the unjust judge. It's a good parable that we don't give up, even if we think, well, God hasn't answered it. Maybe God is looking at how important do you want it. So do you just give up on God? That's the whole parable. It says you don't give up. Here it is. God says, here's what the unjust judge says in verse 7. Shall God not avenge his own elect who cry out day and night to him, though he bears long with them? But he says, I tell you, he will avenge them speedily. Well, if he's bearing so long, why is that? It seems to be a contradiction. No, when the time is that he chooses to come, he's not going to delay. Time's up. Bam. It's done. But there's enough time that passes that maybe he's challenging us or looking at our growth or how much do they really want it? You know, the challenge with our kids today, so many of the kids, not that it wasn't before, but many of you remember the times that I remember trying to go through garbage or whatever. If you could find some old lawnmower wheels and you could get, and you find a couple of pieces of wood and you can make your own go-kart with rope that you would steer it. Wow. I mean, that was so neat to be able to do that. Then if you could find an old motor and get a self-propelled one. I remember one that my brother made. It was a bike frame and he put a motor on it and he had a big front wheel. So he sat almost like one of the a Harley or something. It had a small wheel that he had a rubber thing around a belt around it that would drive it. And I remember he gave me a ride on it one time and the throttle broke. So we were stuck at full speed. And he goes, pull the spark plug. And I went back to pull the spark plug. It was shocking me like crazy because I was getting that spark out where I was going, but you had to stop. So I finally just gave it my go and pulled that spark plug off. You know, now you can go to Walmart and get those. How many people have the creativity anymore? You can just go to Walmart. So a lot of kids, they have a whole entire room filled with toys. Whole rooms that they can't even have a chest big enough to put all the toys in. So they've got all this stuff. Well, you know, it's nice to give the grandkids and the kids gifts, but how much do they appreciate it? When you give them all this, how much are they thankful for what they have? You gave them everything. Did they have to work for everything? Anything at all? Or they're so used to having stuff. That can be dangerous. Here we are as God's people. We can take for granted our calling. Oh, God is there. He knows it. I'm going to take that for granted. And then our prayer life starts to fall away because we don't take it serious enough. And it's the most important thing in a Christian's life, to have that walk in contact with God. So you can see the scriptures are filled with this from top to bottom. So I'm going to finish here today. I only got through a quarter of my sermon. I'm going to finish today by making a pact with God. Then I'll get to the rest of it later. I'm going to give different 10 points on how we can increase our prayer life with God, but I'm going to do that next time. Make a pact with God. I'm going to use an acronym, P-A-C-T. Pact means an agreement or a covenant with Him. We're going to will ourselves with God's help to take this sermon and make a difference in our life before we come to Passover. I like every one of us that as we came to Passover, we said, I made some improvement in my prayer life. And that could maybe be a thank God type thing at Passover. Thank you, God, that you've helped me with this. A guide. I know I've got a lot more things I need to do. But at least we can take this and do something with our life. So the P would be within your prayer life is obviously we have things that we ask. God knows that. He says that's okay to ask. Ask for anything. I ask God, please give me a nice car. I don't take that for granted. I'm thinking that He always has given me that, so do I not pray about it? And maybe one time that I don't pray about it, God's going to give me some old jalopy to cause me to remember all the times that He's blessed me. You know, I'm just so grateful, so thankful for the small things, but we ask. You have to ask. Petition. That's where the P is. Asking God, to petition God. There's another important part. I'll give you a hint. This is the A. What do you think the A would be? Well, we already did petition, so it wouldn't be ask. That is asking God. But there's a part of our service that's very important when we come here. And it starts out with us singing to God. We praise Him. We praise Him, don't we? Well, that doesn't start with it. That should be P. No, it's adore. Our adoration, to show and express our adoration for God. That's why I mentioned I really do enjoy watching time after time after time the planet Earth. It's a great channel if you have access. You have a Netflix, or maybe you can get it somewhere else. I know just on the regular channels, you have to go through the commercials then, but I'm fascinated. The guy's voice, David Attenborough, great, great voice. But then he'll get to a point where he won't give God glory. Just like, you just talked about all this, and you talked about it evolving? And you see this. Where in the world is the mindset there? And yet I can look at that and go, God, you are a God that's incredible. Because now with our cameras and everything else, we're able to go down to the Mariana Trench, to the very bottom, that we were never able to go that far, but mankind has created, developed cameras and other things, submersibles, that they can go that far down to the Mariana Trench, farther down than you would go up in Everest. I mean, the seas are as deep as, way deeper than the highest mountains on top. And they get down there and don't think that they're going to find anything. And you know what? They find living organisms and other things down there that even shocks them. Then they find these places that the Earth releases its heat into the ocean. And you see all this heat. It's so hot, boiling hot. Nothing could live in there. And they find things that are living in there. Living organisms that can handle that heat. How does God do? So every time we look farther, look closer, or look farther away, or even look closer, you find evidence of God and His greatness and His glory. Adoration. It gives me a really good reason to go, wow, God, you are incredible. We're still finding things that could not be seen before. The C would be a part of asking God's forgiveness and mercy. This has to do with a word called contrition. Contrition. Let's go to Isaiah 66. This will be my last scripture today. Isaiah chapter 66. You know, it's interesting. When you and I respect God, He'll give you and I respect as well. When you and I appreciate, thank God, when we adore Him, oh, He reciprocates before we even do that. He loves us so much. Isaiah chapter 66. Beginning in verse 1, thus says the Lord, heaven is my throne, earth is my footstool. He made all these things. Where is the house that you build me? Where is the place of my rest? What is He talking about? We just went through this with the home office. It's just a physical building to accomplish His work. That's all it is. Physical building. We don't want to get so caught up in physical things. It's nice to have nice things. But we can't forget that purpose. I think God allowed us to go through something horrible to teach us a very important lesson. And so did He with the Israelites. They had the most beautiful temple of its time. How many times did it come down? 3 times. Destroyed finally in 70. God said, I've had enough of it. And so we think, well, that, wow, look at that. Well, it happened to us. We had this beautiful auditorium. We had campuses, Bricket Wood, Big Sandy, past beautiful campuses. We had our own camps, SCP camps. We had our own property in Orr, Minnesota. We had a camp down in Big Sandy, Texas. All these wonderful things, all these programs, YOU lessons, booklets, correspondence courses. God's not looking at the content of what we have. He's looking at the heart of His people, at the house that we're building to Him. That's got to do with the spiritual house. Somebody asked me on one of my visits, do you think that God is coming near? Do you think the time? I said, I think so. Now, I don't know how close, because obviously one of the things that we've done is not set dates, but we are supposed to watch. And I know as I talk to God's people, and you're watching, and I'm watching, because we see the importance of watching what's going on. And you know, because I've never seen a time that we're in where people are so hateful. And the spillover goes from, it's in our government, it's in our society, but then I've seen it in the church. I've seen the parallels. I go, how can that be? How can someone that's supposed to be a Christian treat anybody the way that they've done? And so I watch. I don't judge. God is the ultimate judge, but I do judge the content. I do judge what's being said. I'm so grateful, thankful to God. Thank you for making it so clear, because people have lied. And God is not, that's not acceptable to God, just because you're doing a work. Many will come in my name. Haven't we done all these wonderful things? He says, depart from me, you who do iniquity. He doesn't wink at that, at somebody that's just doing the work, and you can treat people like that. That's not the way he does it. Where is the building that you've made to me? He's interested in that spiritual building. For all those things have my hand made, all those things exist. But this is the person to who I will regard, I will look, on him who is poor and of a contrite spirit and who deeply respects my word. And if we're going to deeply respect his word, that means when we listen to the content of what he's saying, we're going to actually be doers and not just hearers. And so we need some revival. You might want to call this, Mr. Evans had a revival today. Not the way that the world does it, but you all know about prayer. The only thing I'm trying to do is if it's gone backwards, to get this thing kick-started again, that you can actually look after 5 weeks and go, my prayer life has gotten a lot better since I've heard that. He looks at the contrition and asking God's forgiveness and mercy. And the last one in the pact is the thankfulness. That one, I said, you can do that all day, but a nice one to do at night is take that time to thank God for your day. Always be thankful to God. Pray in prayer with thanksgiving. Remember, the scriptures talk about always in prayer with thanksgiving. Let your requests be made known to God, and the God of peace will be with you. Prayer with thanksgiving. Showing God gratitude for all that we have. And here's a people here, and to finish my thought before, when I was talking about, you know, thinking, is God close? Is it happening? And the after comment was, do you think that he might be holding up for his return because the church isn't ready? And I said, I tend to think so. That's my thought. And by saying this, I'm not standing up and looking at the church and go, well, if they were just like me, I got to go back and take a look at me. What can I do to help the church? Because every time I'll get stronger and every time you get stronger, what does that mean? That means the church, because you are the church and I'm the church. You know, some people says, well, I didn't leave the church left me. No, it didn't. That's not a true statement either. You're the church. You left falsehoods. You followed the truth, not the church, because you're the church. So the church isn't a name. The church isn't a physical building. The church is the people of God that have his spirit that are stirring it up. That's what that means. And so all these lessons that we've learned over the years, I look back and I'm so grateful. Wow, I've got a deeper understanding of that. And that doesn't mean I'm thinking, well, look at that. I'm right. No, I'm not. Am I holding up? Am I holding it up? Are you holding it up? The return of God, Christ, because we don't have our act together yet. Maybe. But I guarantee you this. Who is the head of the church? Jesus Christ. So it's his responsibility. He's got to get it done. And you know what? He's going to get it done. There's no doubt about that. This being, Jesus Christ, will get it done. But it might be without you. And it might be without me if we keep putting it off. Revelation says, repent, or I'll come and remove your candlestick. I'm going to come and give it to somebody else. That person came up and say, hey, how come you don't have it in the wedding garment? Because I thought I could just come. I thought if I just sit down and listen and write down my notes, open up the Bible, close it back up, and go my own way, come back the next week and do a repeat, but that, not make the change through our life for the next 6 days, or not make this a way of life as a Christian. He's going to get it ready. And it's scary sometimes. You know why? I've seen a lot of good friends of mine that aren't with the church anymore. People that I used to be very close to. I called it my family. And most of them are gone. I remember seeing a minister that he said, if I leave the church, you don't follow me. Oh, I'm so glad I listened to him. So glad I took his advice. Because he left. But I didn't follow him. The one that baptized me left. So I saw, hey, it can happen to lay members, and it's happened to many, many ministers as well. And you take that very seriously. So let's look at this as we go forward. I hope I can help even more with that on the 10 points when I come back on what we can do. What's some substance in here of things that I can do? But you're all free moral agents with brains and with God's Spirit. I think you pretty much know how you can accomplish that. It's just setting your mind to doing that and ask him. Ask him, help me to get better with this. Help me to take this seriously, because if you do, your lives are just going to be better. Your situations may still be pretty hard and bad because God is still training us and we're learning. But the outcomes and the path through it can be so much better, so much easier with that contact and walking with God. Let's make sure we increase in this regard, walk with God, and watch what he can do through each and every one of us.